pray for the family of David Stevens, who passed away yesterday. And then our friend Mignon asked us to pray, has an unspoken prayer request for a young man. And then if we can continue to pray for the families of Pam Patrick and Tanette Holmes. Yes.
And Father, I had posted that grief is so difficult to console when someone is just so broken over the loss. And so, Father, only you can break through those barriers of pain and open grief. So I ask you to touch the David Stevens family and surround them with your comfort and your angelic hosts and bring peace. Father, if there's anyone not saved, Lord, I pray that they would receive salvation because life is short. And I pray that they would bow their knee and ask Christ to come into their heart. And the same is true with Tanette's, Barry's, Holmes family, and the families of Pam Patrick. Lord, we just ask that you comfort all of them. There's large families, and I don't know who is saved and who isn't, but you do. And so we ask you to visit them either in a dream or their sleep, or a laborer come across their path to speak truth and the love of God and express compassion and mercy to those who are hurting. And my grandson also lost his father with a sudden heart attack at 58. And I ask you to lift up Shaden and that family as well, because a sudden death like that is very, very hard. And I just pray that you be there to wipe away their tears. And for all those who are grieving. And I ask for the unspoken prayer for a young man by Mignon. And Lord, we just know how many people out there are desperate and they don't know to come to you. They don't know that you are truth, you're the way, and you are the life that they are seeking. Lord, please show up with a beam of light, an angelic voice. Lord, show these people the way of the holy highway and help them repent and come into the kingdom of God, for time is growing shorter and shorter. And Lord, we need to get our families in the kingdom. We need to get loved ones in the kingdom. We need to be obedient to harvest those souls that we know of, and to pray for an opportunity to be a witness and be sincere. Lord, an unsincere witness is a bad witness. And Lord, we just pray that we will spend time in prayer and be genuine and loving and kind. And you taught me a long time ago that acts of kindness, like heaping coals upon someone's head, breaks down the darkness, breaks down the demonic strongholds in someone's mind. And Lord, I just pray right now that love would draw them to your side, because you loved. You love with great compassion and great mercy those who are unlovable or very difficult. And Lord, we just have to gird our loins and trust you that you will protect us from any unkind words spoken, and go forward as a mighty army for you to prepare the way of your coming. You said you were coming, and to prepare spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and physically. But most of all, you said, prepare, be a light, be a beacon. And Lord, I know what it's like to experience being around a lot of Christians and you feel invisible because you're not saved and you think you are. It's the strangest feeling. And Lord, we recognize those with the light, but we have to really see as you see others' hearts. Draw them, Lord. Draw them in. Make the divine appointments and connections we need for these people. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Amen. The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty, 18304 East 1140 Road, Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. The source of your guidelines is something that should be examined. It has to be greater than the latest, greatest fad. Our world turns on popular opinion. We tend to want what everyone else has. You can choose what you want, but you cannot choose the consequences of what you want. Guidelines will help you make the right choice. The source of your guidelines will determine what your life produces.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for two estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, catalog items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction Realty, 580-225-0269.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford, Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier. Let us.
We are back. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. Our guest this morning is Sister Karen Johnson, and her title is Prayer and Prophecy. Back to you.
Okay. There was a message here that a good friend of mine wrote. God led me to him in 2012. And Matthew 20:25, he felt like that was a word for July, which we'd now pass, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant. So what he has noticed in the body of Christ as he travels and speaks is nobody wants to serve. Servants who serve the services that serve. And learning to lead like and following Christ the way what he did. You know, he challenged his disciples. No, this isn't competition, this isn't, Matthew 23:11, he tells, he that is the greatest among you, let him be your servant. But unfortunately, that's not how, there's a significant percentage of people who consider themselves the elite leaders. Mm-hmm. And even politicians, executives, mm-hmm. and all of that, including ministers. Blind ambition always drives the power. But that's not what Jesus taught. And he recognized it almost is a universal condition when he observed the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them. At the same time, however, he said this is this to his disciples, but you are not to be like that. Luke 22:25-26. Then he continued to instruct them about the greatness in the kingdom. The one who is the greatest among you will serve all. And, of course, they were wondering what in the world he was talking about. And drink the cup and all of that in Mark 10. And underscoring the fact that, you know, the recognition isn't going to be what you're expecting. It was death is what they got, but... All the apostles were killed horribly. Mm-hmm. And in fact, someone was mad at me. They said that I was a liar because someone had called me an apostle. Apostle of faith is what people have called me over in Europe and that type of thing. And I've been called a prophet, evangelist. I've been called a lot of things, you know, just a minister of God. And I never took that, you know. I just said, well, I'm just trying to serve the Lord and stay alive. In the final look at it, there's only one Lord, and he simply does not need lords over God's heritage. 1 Peter 5:3. Who follow the models of the abusive world order rather than the example set by God the Father and Jesus Christ himself? God does not need self-designated dictators to control and dominate his people. He does, however, seek facilitators who will lovingly work with his people to help them mature and develop in the most holy faith, and men and women who will stand in the gap for God on behalf of the land and the people so that they will not suffer God's judgment. Ezekiel 22:30. And this is the true nature of ministry and leadership, for the gifts of God has given for leaders in the community of faith, the fivefold, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, are designed specifically for equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Mm-hmm. You know, when I first started in a glow, for example, I didn't know how to flow in the Spirit. I didn't know, you know, about the anointing. You know, there's a lot of things I learned through Women's Aglow. And I thought, well, I mean, if you've been in a traditional church, you've never seen God move in the Spirit the way Christ teaches in the New Testament. And it was so exciting to see that. And the equipping of the saints for ministry is Ephesians 4:1-12. And they are not power gifts or privileged positions. They are ministries of service, of equipping for building up. And, you know, it's one of those things where serving services that serve is a rigorous task. It requires a pure heart that is not puffed up with the narcissism of over-exaggerated self-worth. Serving services requires a humble heart, a willingness to work with people, even when those people are their own worst enemies, so that if it is even remotely possible, they may be recovered from the traps that the devil has set for them. 2 Timothy 2:25. Serving services that serve requires leaving the lofty ramparts of orthodox theology and speculation and analysis and descending into nitty-gritty realm of practical and relational theology. You know, it's one of those things like, oh, we are supposed to have relationships with people? Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought we were just supposed to tell them what to do. You know, I mean, it's really like that. It's like, no, you're supposed to walk alongside of someone who really needs a friend, who needs to know Christ, the Christ you know, if you know him. Mm-hmm. And I had heard a testimony years ago at Falls Creek where this lady had been a lesbian, repented, got delivered of the spirits, and then was a dynamo for the kingdom of God. And so that was her altar call. If you want to be used by faith to help people who are in bondage, and how she led people out, she didn't hold anything. She went to McDonald's with her Bible and sat there in the booth and had a cup of coffee with this lady for 6 months. And they went through the book of John. And the lady asked her all kinds of questions, and she just loved on her, and they finally broke. And the deception.
Yes.
So she said, you know, it takes that, because in our world today, so many people have not had a loving home life. They're in transition. And I thank God for this young couple who bought the Stanford house and making it a place of transition. Mm-hmm. And for 18 to 22-year-olds, there's 9 apartments. I think that is just wonderful. And they're learning life skills. You know, it's really, really good. And they heard from God to do it. So, anyway, it was one of those things where they're going to be serving the community by helping these young people be better people. And servanthood is the mark of a true leader. These are the shepherds who always serve the sheep and never abuse or exploit. Jeremiah 3:15. And you've got to be willing. And that's how I felt when I went up to work with the Native Americans. Even the elders said, "You're good. You're good." Like that. "You're good. We trust." Mm-hmm. You know, like that. And I said, "Well, I'm trying to be, you know, I hope I am." And they said, no, you have what we seek. You know, you have God in your heart." And that blessed me more than all the times I went up there to share and help kids and all that. I mean, it was, and the kids are the ones who really were so sensitive to the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And I had an appeal to heaven flag. And I had them hold it up and then stand under it and to believe that God sees them in anything that's going on in their lives or home lives, that God will be with them. And they started crying. There was like 25 of them. And they were just, oh, my goodness, I didn't know they would start really weeping. And they felt the presence of the Lord is why they were weeping. And all the adults there were going, "Karen, that is so beautiful to see that, how God showed up, you know?" Mm-hmm. The simplest thing. That was simple. That didn't cost hardly anything, money or whatever, you know? You didn't have to have a crystal chandelier. Oh, yeah, and your attitude has to be the same as Christ. You have to have the mind of Christ, which at times, you know, is a battle, isn't it? Because, I mean, the flesh wants to say, "No, I don't want to do that, God. Please don't make me." But there's such a beauty. Those who have the mind of Christ are not always grasping at rights and privileges, demanding the best, like at the performing arts. They're ready to empty themselves of what is rightfully theirs in order to accomplish the greater good for their fellow man and for God's cause in the earth. In reality, nothing belongs to us.
That's right.
We are merely stewards of some of the infinite number of things that belong to God. In seeking to lead, we must never forget that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That's Psalm 24:1. So to walk in Christ's footsteps, to be a true Christian, means being a disciple, a servant who is walking in the footsteps of the master, doing his bidding and not worrying about the personal honor or power or privilege. And sometimes that looks a little strange. You know, like, where are you going and what are you doing and why aren't you staying here with us because of what we're doing, you know. Mm-hmm. And when one walks in the steps of Christ, he is covered with the dust of the Messiah. People can tell when you have been with Jesus. They can tell when you have not been in his presence. Jesus is still issuing the same call that he made to his own personal disciples 2,000 years ago when he said, "Follow me." Mm-hmm. Following the master is a challenging task. However, for as true disciples of Jesus, we must forsake everything. Luke 14:33. Like Paul, consider everything as rubbish, so that we may again, as Christ, Philippians 3:8, attain unto the high calling of God in Jesus Christ, services that serve the people and receive the crown of righteousness, 2 Timothy 4:8. You know, it's this is a newsletter from John Carr, and he has a PhD, and he writes, he's a seventh generation evangelist, or evangelical Christian, in his family. And God has blessed this man with the gift of writing. And he's writing for the theologians. He's writing for the pastors and the fivefold ministry, to equipping them to a shift, you know, line up with God, do what God's Bible says to do. Don't be a man pleasing person, but do what God's telling you to do. Mm-hmm. And you know, I don't know whether I told you that I was crying out to God about all the conspiracies, and I was hearing all this stuff, and I thought, oh my gosh, where is this coming from, the pits of hell or what? I mean, weird, warped ideas. And you could tell they were lies. I mean, if you're close to the Lord, you're going, God, please, give me a scripture. So I can tell these people, you know, they're off base. And he gave immediately Isaiah 8. And Isaiah 8, Isaiah tells the people of Israel from the Lord, you better not fear all that conspiracies from the enemy. You better fear and be in awe of Almighty God, mm-hmm. the one true God. And he makes it very clear. And the one version that I looked at had the word conspiracy in it. Mm-hmm. But in other versions, they don't put that word in there. But I thought, oh my gosh. You know, I thought, never need a confirmation. God just dropped it in my spirit. And I have told so many people that, because it's infiltrated the evangelical church. Mm-hmm. I don't care which one you go to. The people, if you're a Republican, some of these people are really listening to the wrong voice. And we need to pray, you know, for the second coming of Christ and not be drawn off to. And I think it's making us weak. Because it exposed, here's what it exposed in my heart, what I thought what was, how weak the church is because they're not in the Word of God.
Mm, yes, that's true.
They're not ready for Him to come. Mm. They're not ready to be a part of the mighty army of God that I have talked about today. Mm. They are weak mm-hmm. and defenseless. And He only chose those ones. You know, it was Gideon or Joshua or these. He only chose the people who knew the Word. And, of course, back then, it was the Torah. It was the Old Testament, the lineage, the history, the promises of God. You know, I will never leave you or forsake you. I will be with you, you know, to the ends of the... I mean, his will be done.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And no matter what argument, what excuse, what defense you want to bring to the table... The will of God will not take you where the grace of God will not protect you.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
That's what I have to say. Now, Psalm 27 is read during this month. It's about God. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat upon my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host shall encamp around me, my heart shall not fear. Though war shall rise up against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Yes. You got something over there?
We did have one more prayer request that came in. Miss Neva sent a message. Pray for Jan Gaines, who had cataract surgery this morning.
Oh. Father, we do lift up Jan Gaines because we know that can be tricky. And Lord, I hope that they had the right size lens and the right prescription and everything went smooth and there's no eye infection, no irritation. I pray that it was a perfect transplant of lens. And Lord, I thank you that this cataract has been removed from her. And we do thank you for medical miracles as well, that she'll be able to have 20/20, if not 20/15 vision. We thank you, Lord, for Jan. And we praise her and we thank you that she had a successful surgery. Amen.
Amen. Well, this has been a very interesting and scripture-packed lesson this morning.
Yeah, I had asked the Lord, I said, and he even numbered the order of it. And I thought, well, that's interesting. And Because, you know, I'm swamped with grief right now at my house. And I thought, well, Lord, what do you want me to say? But the revival at First Baptist is supposed to be real. They sang a hymn called the Hymn of Heaven last Sunday. It must be a brand new hymn or something.
I love that song.
Oh, I mean, I had chills from head to toe. It was so beautiful.
I forgot what the guy's name is that sings that one, but it is a beautiful song. That's one of my new favorites.
I thought I was going to go way up there. My spirit man did. Mm-hmm. I was up there in the clouds. Hallelujah.
We really appreciate you coming and sharing with us, and we'll be praying for you with your situation, too.
Thank you. Thank you.
You have been tuned in to the Hour of Power, and I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Tina Dobbs, my sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, and our sister in Christ, Miss Karen Johnson, y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you next time. Oh, and don't forget to stay tuned after the program. Thank you, Monica, for a word from Pastor Dwight on the Truth broadcast called Run Your Race.
I'm glad somebody else is like me because I have.
Let us pray, let us pray. We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.